Today, the Fed lifts, more ahead, and what are the consequences? Hello again, I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Welcome to our latest post covering finance and property news with a distinctively Australian flavour. The US Federal Reserve announced their interest rate decision today, and we discussed the implications. And by the way, if you value the content we produce, please do consider joining our Patreon program, where you can support our ability to continue to make great content. Here is the link, and it's in the comments below. The Fed moved as expected and continues to highlight more upward movements in the months ahead. In fact, their language is arguably more bullish now. The target range for the federal funds rate is now 2 to 2.25%. And this is what they said. Information received since the Federal Open Market Committee met in August indicates that the labour market has continued to strengthen and that economic activity has been rising at a strong rate. Job gains have been strong on average in recent months and the unemployment rate has stayed low. Household spending and business fixed investment have grown strongly. On a 12-month basis, both overall inflation and inflation for items other than food and energy remains near 2%. Indicators of long-term inflation expectations are little changed on balance. Consistent with its statutory mandate, the committee seeks to foster maximum employment and price stability. The committee expects that further gradual increases in the target range for the federal funds rate will be consistent with sustained expansion of economic activity, strong labour market conditions, and inflation near the committee's symmetric 2% objective over the medium term. Risks to the economic outlook appear roughly balanced. In view of realised and expected labour market conditions and inflation, the committee decided to raise the target range for the federal fund rate to 2 to 2.25%. In determining the timing and size of future adjustments to the target range for the federal fund rate, the committee will assess realised and expected economic conditions relative to its maximum employment objective and its symmetric 2% inflation objective. This assessment will take into account a wide range of information, including the measure of labour market conditions, indicators of inflation pressures and inflation expectations, and readings on financial and international developments. Now, the wording has changed to remove the mention of the need to be accommodative, so we can expect more rate hikes from the Fed ahead. Their dots chart, where each member indicates where they think rates will be ahead, show this. And at the same time, they published their latest economic projections. In this release, they see GDP sliding from 2019, while inflation is expected to rise. This suggests that the US economy could be facing more headwinds going into the 2020 US election. And as a result of this information, the Dow Jones was down 0.4% to 26,385. The fear index, the VIX, rose 3.78% to 12.89, and the 10-year US bond rate is still above 3%, signalling higher interest rates into the capital markets. This has the potential to further lift the funding cost which our banks will need to pay on overseas funds. And some, of course, have up to 40% of their funding from these sources, and this will likely flow through to higher mortgage rates in Australia, as well as a compression on deposit and savings rates. At the time of writing, the ASX 100 was down 0.15% to 5,082, while the ASX Financial Index was down 0.18% to 6,062. Not only is this reflecting the higher US rates, but also there was the announcement from law firm Slater and Gordon, who has filed class action proceedings in the federal court against National Australia Bank and MLC on behalf of customers sold worthless credit card insurance. The Aussie was 72.61, still above its lows from earlier in September, but we suspect the trajectory will be lower. The bottom line is this: things are playing out exactly in line with my scenario modelling. And this is before we get the interim Royal Commission report tomorrow. Expect more downside for the banks in the weeks ahead. All this will continue to put pressure on home prices. And on that front, as you may know, ABC's Media Watch did a piece on the 60 Minutes segment, which I was involved in making.
But finally, to some alarming news for property owners from Nine's most serious current affairs show, 60 Minutes.
It's no secret Australia is experiencing a downturn in the property market. But if you own your own home or have a mortgage, there's worse news. Many believe calling it a downturn is foolishly optimistic. The slump we're currently in is more like falling off a cliff.
Yes, according to Nine's trusted news brand, financial doomsday looms. And Tom Steinfort's two-part report last Sunday sounded the alarm.
Real estate and finance experts you're about to meet predict the value of your house could slide by as much as 40% in the next year. Yes, two-fifths of your home's worth wiped out in just 12 months.
Yep, you heard right. Your million-dollar home could be worth only 600 grand this time next year. So, who are these real estate and finance experts predicting economic catastrophe?
This is looking right in the teeth of a gale, and that gale could lead us to a recession. At the worst end of the spectrum, if everything turned against us, we could see property prices 40 to 45% down from their peaks, which is a huge deal.
It certainly would be. Cue the scary music. But note North's important qualification.
If everything turned against us.
And what chance is there of that? Well, just 20%, North told MediaWatch, which was a key fact that went missing from the 60 Minutes script. And what about that 12-month timeline? Well, that was certainly not what North said.
At no time did I say this is going to happen in the next 12 months. I was quite specific that this is a 2 to 3 year scenario.
North, in fact, presented three economic scenarios to the 60 Minutes producers, but only one, the most extreme and the least likely, got a mention.
My concern is the message got diluted. When you start saying the only scenario is this, you've overreached.
North is a well-known property market bear, but he's not the only one warning that prices could fall. The Commonwealth Bank reckons they could drop by up to 10% from their peak in Sydney and Melbourne, where the market is hottest. And Louis Christopher told 60 Minutes he also expected a fall.
The market was clearly overvalued. There's no doubt about that.
But a 40% crash in prices? Highly unlikely, he wrote later in a column for Property Observer.
Our various government bodies have the capacity and the will to intervene if such a scenario were to become apparent. They can cut interest rates, they can introduce a first home owner grant, they can introduce quantitative easing, they can loosen recent regulatory requirements on the banking sector. There are precedents for all these actions.
So, what did he think of the program?
I was disappointed and unhappy. The segment was sensationalist to say the least.
Veteran finance commentators like Michael Pascoe agreed, as did respected economists like Shane Oliver. So, how come Channel 9 could present a calamitous economic scenario without a moment of qualification or balance? They told us...
We stand by this story and some of the risks it highlighted, and would note both Martin North and Jamison Lautet have told MediaWatch that they believe we gave a fair and accurate representation of their positions with regard to the residential property market, household debt levels and mortgage crisis.
Well, that's true, but the vast majority of experts believe the severity of the crash they're predicting, on which the program based its entire story, is bunkum. What a shame 60 Minutes couldn't find room for any of them.
As I already discussed, Nine went with the most severe scenario and added in a 12 months time frame, which I never referred to. I've always said 2 to 3 years. And in any case, I predicated all my answers as in the worst case. For those who missed the original segment, they are still available on YouTube, and you can watch my own discussion of the programme, The Debt Bomb That Nobody Wants to Talk About. Being dubbed a property bear by MediaWatch is really quite amusing, remembering Paul Barry's reports from the US some time back when he covered the horrid aftermath of the US property crash. I merely remind him and others that the film The Big Short appears to be playing out here in Australia in real time. Bunkum, it is not. Also, Stephen Kokoulis, the man who made the bet, which I did not take up, tweeted, MediaWatch was funny, it actually portrayed Martin North as the one who was misrepresented on 60 Minutes with outlandish claims on housing. Sure, the data-light property spruikers are all saying there is no bust coming despite 40% less borrowing power than a year ago, liar loans in the portfolio, interest-only loan resets, flat wages growth, rising costs of living, rising interest rates, many newly constructed units unsold despite deep discounts, no rise in the average number of people per home, according to the ABS, the falls we've already observed, rising defaults, okay, from a low base, and the Royal Commission, etc. Just saying. 60 Minutes also published a summary of my views in this extras segment, which cuts to the heart of the debate, in my view.
So many Australians rushed to get into the property market, got mortgaged up to their eyeballs. Have they been reckless?
So I've got a view that there were so many people all on the same drug, right? The banks, the Reserve Bank, and individuals, and everyone was expecting and hoping that prices would always go up. For a long period of time, they sort of were right. I mean, we hardly saw a wobble post the GFC. We had a few minor corrections. But the fact is that people have been reckless in terms of their ability to be able to actually afford those mortgages. The banks were reckless because they were actually lending at standards that were impossible. And now, of course, the Royal Commission has exposed a lot of the poor lending, the liar loans and all those sorts of things. What's so interesting about this is it's not just the battlers in the urban centres around Sydney and Melbourne that traditionally are always the ones that are in trouble. And, you know, go to Campbelltown and you can see it. But I'm also seeing it now among more affluent households. Even places like, for example, Bondi, right? Where you've got young affluent people who've bought quite recently with a big mortgage. Today they wouldn't get that mortgage. They're in difficulties. And that is something we've not seen before.
What's the worst case scenario here?
We could see the equivalent of Ireland. It could be that bad, right? So what happened in Ireland? Well, we found a lot of people who had properties in negative equity, prices went down and didn't recover for 10 years. That's the first thing. The wealth effect as property rises is also reversed. And a lot of people, of course, are banking on the assets that they hold in property to pay for their superannuation and retirement. And suddenly their wealth dissipates. That puts greater pressure on the government in terms of government pensions. So we could see a significant rise in public spending to support pensions into the future. The economic momentum, which has been driven by finance and property, dissipates. But we don't have a plan B. We don't have a strong set of alternatives. So total growth in Australia would dissipate and actually get very weak.
Have we got a crisis?
My own view is that we are in the early stages of a crisis developing. We haven't yet seen the full effects and impacts of what will play out. But many people aren't even recognising that we've got a problem. But yes, we're in crisis territory, I think, now. I think probably 2019 will be the critical year when we will know how bad this could be, and it could be really bad.
So how do we get ourselves turning this around as quickly as possible?
So we're not even off first base. Firstly, we have to recognise the situation that we're really in, rather than continuing the, oh, it'll be fine, you know.
So it's like an addict who, you know, the first step is admitting you've got a problem.
Absolutely. And I talk...
We're addicted to debt.
Yes, we're addicted to debt as individuals, as households. You know, the ratios are way higher than almost every other country. But as a society and as a government and as a regulatory system, we're all banking on the home price engine as being the magic silver thing that just goes on giving and giving and giving, right? But it's not going to, right? We don't have an alternative. So that requires different government policies. That requires different approaches from the Reserve Bank. It requires different approaches from the banks. And people should be really cautious. They're still being encouraged. First-time buyers are being encouraged to buy now, you know. You can see the adverts. Prices are down 10%. Great time to buy. You know, and by the way, all, you know, some of the states are now offering extra incentives. But you're buying in a falling market. That is a really, really comfortable thing to be doing. And I would say to people, hold off, because actually if you buy next year, you can probably get a better deal than this year, right? Secondly, we need a government who's actually got the ability to respond and react. And my concern at the moment, given what's happening in Canberra as we speak, is that we don't have a government who knows what to do about this stuff, and therefore prefer to talk about other things and, you know, small elastoplast fixes around the edge, right? But this is structural, and we need a structural solution.
I'm still hoping for some intelligent discussions on the issues, but, you know, it takes two to tango. And by the way, if you value the content we produce, please do consider joining our Patreon program, where you can support our ability to continue to make great content. Here's the link, and it's in the comments below. As always, if you like what you've heard here today, please share and like the post and add a comment or question. And if you want to join the growing band of subscribers who receive alerts when we release new posts, do subscribe now. I'm Martin North, the Principal Analyst at Digital Finance Analytics. Many thanks for listening, and I'll talk to you again next time.